you, Claudia and Pablo. Thank you, Hillary. Give yourselves a hand. You made it here, 10 o'clock. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to let you know that the school, the parents of PS 174, they are having an annual Halloween event today at the school. That's why we chose to worship earlier. And we're going to be having our communion. This is going to, my message is going to be the message plus the communion. All right? And so what I just want to encourage you with is this is a school event. So after we're dismissed, you know, we want to encourage you to head on out. Okay, head on out. There's going to be, it's a Halloween event for the kids of PS 174. So those of you who have kids, please hold their hands because the temptation is going to be great when the kids pass all those activities. But this is for the school, PS 174. And I'm not just talking to the kids, I'm also talking to the adults. Someone please hold Donald Verona's hand. He might get tempted. He might get tempted to go and grab some candy. But we hope that Donald will behave himself. So a couple of things I want to share before I get into the message today. I have a card to read from Lachey Baugh. And it reads, "Dear Queens Church family, my deepest gratitude goes to you for your prayers, love, and support during the loss of my father, Henry Thomas. On behalf of myself and my family, I want to thank you for your kind words, donations, text messages, and for being a light to my family during this difficult time. Your thoughtfulness has meant so much to us. With love and appreciation, the Baugh family." And she quotes this passage in Romans 12, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn." We love and miss you. Thank you all for your thoughtfulness. Please keep the Baugh family in your prayers. I also want to say that last Sunday, there was a Spanish service after church. And my wife and I stayed for that Spanish service, and it was amazing. It was incredible just to hear the word of God spoken in God's language, Spanish. And I really want to lift up all the brothers and sisters who helped make that service possible. There was a great number of Spanish-speaking disciples from all over the New York church. And what was super encouraging is that they ended off with different dances from different countries. It was super encouraging. And Robin and I actually got to experience the being translated to via headset. And it was quite an interesting experience for me. And I just want to say to all the Spanish brothers and sisters, thank you for putting up with this, with the translation and with the headsets. One day we will have consistent preaching in Espanol. It won't be through me, but the Lord will make that happen. I mean, it makes such a difference when you hear the word of God in your own native tongue. It really does. It was very, very special. So a couple of things before we get into the message. So I don't have a presentation here. I mean, I left it at home by accident. I was supposed to do another step before but I did not download it. So we have no actual presentation. So what you're going to have to do is pay attention through your Bible. That is a real radical concept, isn't it? Actually going to have to open up your own Bible. We're going old school today, church. Okay? And I will, I tell you what I do. I promise you, I'll email you the keynote when I get back home. So I'm going to do a message, and we're going to take the communion after I pray, right? Then after I pray, there'll be a time of silence where we can have some personal reflection as we take the Lord's Supper today. And then there's going to be a song I want to encourage everyone to listen to. We will have the words up on the screen. It's a song called "Is He Worthy?" It's a very simple song that really conveys a lot of biblically sound knowledge about who Jesus is. And the words will be up on the screen so you can follow along and you can sing along as you choose. And then after that song, we're going to be dismissed, okay? So we're going to have a shortened service today. I'm going to do the lesson, and we'll have a song called "Is He Worthy," which you can follow along on the screen, and then after that song, we'll be dismissed. Let's say a word of prayer at this time. Father in heaven, we come before you. We are thankful that we can meet here at PS 174. We're thankful for all those who have joined us on Zoom. We're thankful, Father, that we can hear your word. We're thankful that you still speak to us through your word. Father, your word is light, and that light illuminates spiritual truths to us. Father, may your light shine in our hearts. May you open our eyes, that we may see Jesus as who he truly is. May the word today encourage us. May your word today strengthen us. May your word help us to renew our minds so that we can think about Jesus as we ought to think. Fill us with your spirit. Open our hearts at this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today's sermon is Renew Your Mind About Christ's Identity. Renew your mind about Christ's identity. And we're going to take a look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. If you could put that up there, thank you. Now, I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version. So it's a little different from what you see on the screen, but it will say the same thing. Now, before I dive into this passage, I do want to say that I need to correct something that I said last week. I said that felons in the United States of America are not able to vote. And I know that may have ruffled some feathers, but that is actually not completely true. It depends on what state you are in, okay? Just, I want to make sure that I do not spread this information in this season. And so, some felons are able to vote based on the laws of that state. And some are unable to vote. So it varies from state to state. So I just want to put that out there. Amen? Colossians chapter 1. He is the exact living image. Now I'm reading from the Amplified Version. He is the exact living image, the essential manifestation of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible, the firstborn, the preeminent one, the sovereign, and the originator of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created and exist through him, that is, by his activity and for him. And he himself existed and is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. He is the controlling, cohesive force of the universe. He is also the head, the life source, and leader of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will occupy the first place. He will stand supreme and be preeminent in everything. For it pleased the Father, for all the fullness of the deity, the sum total of his essence, all his perfection, powers, and attributes to dwell permanently in him, the Son, and through the intervention of the Son, to reconcile all things to himself, making peace with believers through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And the question we want to ask ourselves today is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And why do we worship him? I want to bring out six things that Paul said in this chapter. And you can refer to those six things up on the screen. Thank you, Uriel and brothers, for putting this up there. You could just keep that up there. Great job. Let's give our tech team a big hand. Now, Denton and Jackie are not here because they're celebrating their anniversary. Right? And so, but we do have an awesome tech team that are doing a great job today. So let's give them a big hand. Who is Jesus? In verse 15, it says, he is the image of the invisible Son, of the invisible God. He is the exact living image of the unseen God. What is really interesting, and we could easily miss the way Christ is spoken about in the New Testament. Christ is referred to in the present tense. The scriptures don't say the Son was the image of the invisible God. The scriptures declare the Son is the image of the invisible God. And the central belief in the Christian church is that Christ is alive. He is living. He is not someone who is just from the past, but that he died, he rose again, and he reigns currently in the heavenly realms. Peter said in Acts chapter 2 that death could not keep its hold on him. And that if anyone ever wanted to ask themselves, what would God do if he were on this earth? All you would need to do is look at the life of Jesus, because it says that he is the image of the invisible God. The other thing Paul says is that for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. Paul says that Jesus created all things. And in saying that, he is saying that Jesus is no ordinary human being. He is the creator of everything. Pinch yourself for a moment. Just pinch yourself. Who created you? Jesus. This is what the scriptures declare Jesus to be. The creator of all things. You are not just molecules just kind of circling around just because kind of everything all kind of came together somehow. Jesus created and formed you. The third thing he says is that in him all things hold together. All things, the entire universe, the seasons, the rising of the sun to its setting, all things are held together by Jesus. The fourth thing Paul says is that he is the head of the body, the church. Christ is the head of the church. He is the source of life for the church. Christ is the authority of the church. Now, in our vernacular, in our modern vernacular, we typically say things like, well, I go to Pastor so-and-so's church. I go to Joel Osteen's church. I go to T.D. Jakes' church. It's as if the church belonged to these individuals. This is how we speak in the modern era. The Bible says Jesus is the head of the church. No man owns the church. It is not his personal belonging. Jesus is the head of the church. Please don't tell people that you go to Sean's church. Please. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. Please do not tell people that you're part of Sean's church. I'm just a servant here. I'm trying to be the best I can possibly be, but trust me, I am not the head of this church. The other thing he says is that in the translation that I read, it said, he will stand supreme and be preeminent in everything. That's what is read, that is what is written in verse 18, so that everything he might have the supremacy. What does that mean? Christ is supreme in the heavenly realms. Everybody in the heavenly realms knows that. There's a different situation here on earth. Many, many people do not recognize the authority of Christ here on this earth. But it is essential for the Christian to recognize the authority of Jesus. That issue is a non-negotiable issue when you become a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. So, the day I got baptized, I made a public confession. I said, Jesus is Lord. Those were the last words I spoke before I went into the waters of baptism. Why is that important? Because I made a public confession to people that from this point on, I am going to recognize the supremacy of Christ in my life. And so the supremacy of Christ influences my decision to come to midweek or not. The supremacy of Christ influences my decision to confess my sins or not. The supremacy of Christ influences my decision on whether I'm going to open up my home to others or not. The supremacy of Christ influences my decision on what portion of my income I'm going to give in my weekly or special contribution. The supremacy of Christ influences how I fulfill my sexual desires. The supremacy of Christ controls the words I allow to come out of my mouth. The supremacy of Christ influences everything I do. Nobody forces me to make Christ supreme. I, on my own volition and free choice, made that decision before I went into the waters of baptism. And from that day on to today, the battle within me is to keep making Christ supreme in my life. The sixth thing that Paul says in this passage, he says the full essence of God permanently dwells in Christ. The full essence of God dwells permanently in Christ. This is important because from the time Christ appeared on this earth, it has been declared that the full essence of God dwells permanently in him. Now, there have been other people, even since Christ and prior to Christ, that have claimed to have great spiritual insight. The founder of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, was born around 570 in the Common Era. And Muslims have exalted Prophet Muhammad above the teachings of Jesus. This is a reality. This is not a secret. But this is problematic, because if the full essence of God permanently dwells in Christ, who came before Prophet Muhammad, then it must mean that the full essence of God does not dwell in Prophet Muhammad. If this is true, then it stands to reason that no other individual has the essence of God in him other than Christ. Do you believe this is who Christ is? Do you believe it? And I think it is essential that members of the church, the body of Christ, that we see Christ as he really is. That our idea or concept of Christ is not foggy in any way. Or that his preeminence is not diluted in any way, but that we see Christ as he is declared to be by the writers of the New Testament. And so today we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper, and I will say, what you personally believe about Christ really matters when you take the Lord's Supper. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, we'll read in verse 14. Second Corinthians. For Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is a letter that Paul wrote to the believers who were in Corinth. It's his second letter to the Corinthian church, and that's why it's called 2 Corinthians. And it's a letter that he's expounding on important theological things to help the believers in Corinth. And one of the things I want to draw your attention to is verse 16. If you could flip back to verse 16. He says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. And what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that the believers in Corinth had a certain view of Christ. They looked at Christ in a particular way that was shaped by the world around them. But then he says, though we once regarded Christ from a worldly point of view, we do so no longer. What he's talking about is they changed their mind. You follow that? They changed their thinking about Christ. You know, James Bonner did a great job at the welcome, and he looked at Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. Do not conform by the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If it's any area that the Christian church's mind needs to be renewed, is in our understanding of the identity of Christ. Because if you turn on the TV, if you listen to your professors, if you just listen to what people say, everybody has a view about Jesus. They say things like, well, it's Christianity that caused all these problems. And well, the Christian church has done so much harm to different people, and we just need to get rid of the Christian church. And to be sure, the Christian church has done a lot of harm to people. But let's look at Jesus for a minute. Let's focus our attention on Jesus. And I think we have to ask ourselves, do we believe the things that the apostles wrote about Jesus in the New Testament? If not, then we have to renew our minds about Christ. And so, when you look throughout the scripture, we just looked at a few verses, but it's a common thread that all of the New Testament writers present Christ in a very high esteem. Their view of Christ is highly exalted. And the question we have to ask ourselves is why? Why do the New Testament writers highly exalt Jesus? And therefore all die. This is a central belief in the teachings of the New Testament. Christ died for all. If anyone wants to be reconciled with God, they must come to terms with Christ and his teaching. There is no other way. Now, you're free to explore other religions. You're free to investigate the teachings of the Dalai Lama. You're free to travel the world to seek out inspiration from the teachings of Buddha. You're free to explore Western and Eastern spiritual teachings. You can do all these things if you want. But if you desire to be reconciled with God, if you want to have your sins forgiven, if you do not want to be a recipient of God's eternal wrath, then there is only one person who you can come to: Jesus Christ. Because only Jesus died for your sins. The things that bring you guilt, shame, Jesus died for those sins. So that you can be cleansed. You can be made new from the inside. Your sins can be wiped away in the eyes of God. Only Jesus has done what is necessary to forgive you of your sins. In verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 5, look at what it says there. God made him who had no sin. God made him who had no sin, this is Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What is he saying? The only person who could pay the price for our forgiveness is Jesus. And Jesus had to be made into sin for you. You think about the worst thing you've ever done. Just think about that. Think about the thing right now, right at this moment, that brings you the most regret. That you just can't get it out of your mind. Jesus died so you could be forgiven of that sin. Christ bore God's wrath that was intended for us. See, this is a key belief in the Christian church. A lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people don't want to take any responsibility for their sin. A lot of people just feel like, you know what, hey, I did that a long time ago, and it's in the past, and it may be in your past, but God don't forget things that we've done. And there will come a day where every human being is going to have to stand before the throne of God and give an account. Now, you can say to God, hey, God, I forgot about that. That was a long time ago. He ain't going to forget. And the only thing that will matter at that moment when you face God is not how many degrees you had. It's not how many homes you purchased or how highly esteemed on planet Earth you were. The only thing that would really matter is, are you covered by the blood of Jesus? And that is why, it's because Christ has done this. That is why Paul declares he will stand supreme and be preeminent in everything. It is because of this great act that he stands supreme. It's because he stood in the breach for my sins. It's because the punishment that was due me was laid on him. It's because, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 53, verse 5, it's because he was pierced for my transgressions. It's because he did that why he is exalted in the heavenly realms. And the day will come when we will see him as he truly is. But we on this earth, while we are dealing with this present life, we have to clear our minds from the fog. Because the world exalts the successful athlete. The world exalts the wealthy and successful businessman. The world exalts the talented and successful musician. And the world exalts those who hold positions of political power. But we exalt Jesus. And so we're going to take the communion. And I want to encourage you, let us, the body of Christ, let us renew our minds. Nobody's going to renew it for us. Let us renew our minds and exalt Christ in our hearts. Let's pray together as we take the Lord's Supper. Father in heaven, you are highly exalted. Father, we don't fully see you in your exalted state right now, but we believe because of what the scriptures declare. Father, help us to see you more clearly. And help us to keep you in your rightful place, that we confess you as Lord at the waters of baptism, and we pray that you will always be Lord in our lives. Father, as we take this bread that is your body, that you gave up, you willingly gave up on the cross for our sins, and as we take this fruit of the vine that is your blood, help us to remember that this is the precious blood of Jesus that has washed away all of our sins. And help us to proclaim your death until we see you on that great day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. At this time, we're going to listen to that song. It's called "He Is Worthy" by Shane and Shane.